To begin, I'd like to restate what I said something about last night, and that is the distinction between sign and symbol. It's very important in this discussion. And I think that to illustrate that is, is when you think of offering, what's the first kind of thing that comes to mind for most of us?
Money.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an example of what I think is a sign. Because the way we use signs is something that is very specific, and everybody understands exactly what we're talking about. Now and that applies to an awful lot of what we're trying to deal with when we think of community and liturgy, even our concept of God, and even how we see ourselves. The other side of it is the term symbol. How would you think of defining or describing what is a symbol?
A visual sign.
Pardon?
A visual sign, something you see.
Okay. It can also be it could be an art form or a word, something you see. But what does it call forth is the important distinction. Is it something that is very specific, or a symbol is something that is very alive, that calls something more from you than what you've been before? That's really what's the important thing. A symbol is always alive and new. So when we talk about going through the liturgy, for many of us, the way we've understood it is, what's new about that?
Yeah.
You follow me? Or what's new about putting a couple of bucks in the offering plate? So when we're talking about offering particularly, it's like every other part of the liturgy that we've tried to unpack. And so when we come to this point, it's important to in a sense, to get a frame of reference for what has preceded the time for doing our offering work in community. It's important to get a sense of what has preceded. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit more about offering and its history and its development. What comes to mind in as you look at the biblical witness of the first offerings that are talked about in the Bible?
Sacrifices.
Yeah. Which, more specifically, what was the account?
Well, for something of the lamb, of an animal, the sacrifice.
Okay. Press it back very early. Cain and Abel.
Well, the first fruits of the lamb was an offering.
One was.
And the other was
brought his the grain or the fruit of the land. The other one brought
animal.
An animal. Those were, in a sense, the first recorded, not historically necessarily, but as far as we begin in Genesis, the first reference to offerings. And Cain was the grain or the fruit offering, and Abel was the sheep or the animal. And God preferred the animal. Okay. Let's follow that a little bit in terms of what other images of the outstanding kind of images of offering that stand out in our mind.
Well, I think of Isaac when he had offering.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the Lord provided an offering.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you think of the Abraham offering his own son.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a kind of a startling thing the first time I read that. It was a kind of a surprise to me when I realized that this was, in a sense, a common practice in even within the history of the children of Israel to have human sacrifice. It's referred to a number of times in the Bible.
And they did it in their own cultures too.
Yeah, other cultures as well. So it was. in a sense, it was a kind of a common practice, to say a common practice, specifically when there was an important event, particularly if you had to build a wall around the city or a gate. There's several references in the Old Testament to offerings of children when some of those actions were taking place.
Could we go back to Cain and Abel for just a minute? Mm-hmm. Was it that God preferred the animal, or was it the attitude of Abel?
I don't know. It's not. It doesn't really. You know, there's not enough stuff there to give you a real idea of what that was. The significant thing is that there were two offerings, and that it obviously God accepted, you know, the animal. So if you try to get inside of what is offering, and what might be the symbol of it, what is happening when we do offering, what do you think? What's going on? What do you
it's part of yourself.
Yeah.
Something to you.
Okay. Life.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah. Why? What's the significance of, in a sense, offering life to God?
Recognition of the source of life.
That's a very deep part of it. First of all, if you don't recognize there's a source of life, I mean, that's number one. The other one is that, in recognition of that, closely follow that, is your conscious understanding that you're totally dependent on that source. That's crucial. Do you follow me? Yeah. For instance, if the farmer or the person who lived off the grain or the fruit of the land, like the king, or in any kind of cultures where that's their way of being sustained. In most cultures, there in whatever their religious practice is, there is some form of offering back to whatever their understanding of God is, of the source, an expression of offering. To that God. Then they take some symbol of the grain or whatever, as a way of saying to that God, yeah, I recognize you as a source, and I recognize that I'm totally dependent on you for everything, for life. Same way if you're a farmer, or a hunter, if you will. When I was in graduate school studying some of this stuff, I got fascinated by looking at different the sociology of religion in different cultures, and in very primitive cultures, it was interesting how they would get to practice their in their understanding of offering this very thing. For instance, if the in some very primitive cultures, they would be dependent on, say, hunting the deer. When they would hunt one, the hunters would eat the heart of the deer, so they would have the capacities to be able to hunt the deer. And it was really incredible. But the root of it is our deep need to recognize the source and to express in symbol a total dependence on that source for all of your life. Yeah. So, it becomes a very powerful image for us, and it's powerful through, the image of offering all the way through the Old Testament witness. There's times, there's great events, there's an altar made, and some kind of animal life, grain, is offered as a constant, the only way to finally express total dependence on God for your own life. That's the basic expression of what is inside of offering. So that's quite a leap if you go from that understanding of offering to, say, money. Right? But it's not impossible to make that leap if we do what? If money gets to be not just a sign of what so much we have to do on Sunday morning, but if we understand and get more consciously inside of that, what is involved in our life in making money?
Work, using our talent.
Okay. What have you expressed of yourself when you start thinking about it? In whatever you're doing, you've exercised your brain, you know, to think about what you want to do, or you've offered your body. You can do things with your hands or whatever those gifts are. Feelings, sweat, imagination. If you think of it that way, you have given part of your life, if you will, in an activity, a specific activity. Have you thought of work as an offering?
Yeah.
Not many people do.
Mm-hmm. We have Love Day.
Huh?
We have Love Day, and we think of that as being.
I'm talking about in the marketplace.
Salary, yeah.
I'm talking about in the marketplace. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant just working for the Lord.
No.
That is an offering.
Yeah. I mean, it is one thing to have us begin to think about what I've earned now in a salary and so forth, and now I give a percent of that to God. It's another way of also beginning to think of all of your life being dependent on God. And the what you get into immediately is God the source of all your life, or is God just in the domain in the church building? Do you follow me? Yeah. So what we need to get back to is a much more basic understanding of offering of ourselves. In other words, what is our work here is to discover that all of our life is dependent on God. Our capacity even to do our work, the possibility, of being offered an opportunity to work, in fact, is an opportunity, to offer oneself. And so the source of the capacity is to even work, you're dependent on the God source. To acknowledge now whatever response you make to this God is in a sense contained in the work of offering. So when I talk about the arenas where we actually live, it's in the beginning already of attitudinally, why do kids go to school? Huh? Is it already in their early training of a development of beginning to offer one's life, and so we begin to so we in a sense turn over our life to the hands of God so that the gifts and resources of ourselves can be literally used in the hands of God, being totally dependent on whatever this little kid is, capacity later on is there for everyone. Not just for what kind of grades this kid gets. Do you follow me? So offering is has its basis in some very deep and profound images. So if we make the shift from a sign to a symbol, there's an awful lot going on. So far, do you have any questions about what we're talking about? Or comments about what we're pressing here?
I Is offering always involving a symbol then?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that's be conscious that you choose about. Yeah. Yeah. So that there, see, the next question is, what makes the gift or the offering an offering? That's really the question. You ever thought of that? What makes an offering, you know, or that gift that you hold up, what makes it an offering? What has to happen?
Well, you're willing to give it, aren't you? Isn't that an offering when you're willing to? You don't begrudgingly say, well,
yeah,
you know, I don't want to do this, but I do it because I have to.
What's the tug there? I mean, you're getting at it. What's the tug there? What's the real struggle?
That's selfish.
Yeah?
Me.
Willingness to recognize God.
Well, I mean, it's all part of that process. First of all, the source. Mm-hmm. Who's the source? Am I the source or is God the source? Okay?
All right?
Okay. About, you know, if it's a source about one thing, What I hopefully will discover in my lifelong process that everything is God's source. But the only way to begin to work at that is a specific thing. Now, is God the source of in our working with that text yesterday? Do you remember what we talked about? You know, that there was in the last part of that gospel that says something. Unless you're ready to lose your life, you won't gain it. If you try to build your life, you'll lose it. Remember that one? Okay. Now, it might be, that might have to do something. Are we ready to really make choices about how we express ourselves to people that or go beyond what roles we think people expect of us? Do you follow me? I'm used to being, you know, this quote, good husband at home and that kind of life. But there's really some other, you know, and so I have, the way I grew up, I would never do dishes and so forth because that wasn't manly. All right? Do you follow me? Yeah. But there's obviously, do I have the abilities to do dishes?
Sure.
Yeah. To clean up stuff. Right. Now, am I going to, if I make some shifts in my behavior in the household, am I going to lose something? Oh, I will have to consciously lose a certain image of who I thought I had to be in the past. So I can really offer more honestly myself. Follow me?
Yes.
Yeah. How about it at work?
Same thing
as both people? Yeah. In different content for each of us. You see. There may come a time when, you know, say, I just cannot do this job anymore. Either it's just too darn boring, or it's calling me to do stuff, you know, that perpetuates stuff I just do not believe in anymore. You know? Because there's something to be true to myself, to really offer myself to this source. I have to make some different choices. But I may lose something. I may lose my job. I may lose my income. Follow me? Yeah. And I may have to uproot and move to another town. Yeah. And so offering is work. And citizenship. If I really begin to take seriously the source from which my life comes, I may have to make some different choices about how I act with the resources that are given to me by that source. Even choices in the political arena or, you know, what I care about. Does that make sense? Huh? Now, what... Beyond just recognizing the source, where's the struggle going to take place in me? What is the change? What is the shift that's going to have to take place inside of me? Do I have to get in touch with, what am I going to start getting in touch with? My. What's mine? You know what I mean? Can you give anything away that is not yours? Can't do it. Yeah. How do you get the my out of it, the possessiveness, the mine out of it? Huh? Ever thought of that? Hopefully, that's really at the nubbins of what offering's about. If you look in the fifth chapter of Matthew, there's an interesting little text. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I stumbled across it this summer in some new ways of talking about offering. If you look at the 21st verse of the fifth chapter, and one of you want to read that? 21st verse, fifth chapter. Read through the 24th verse, if you will.
You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
Okay. Yeah. What's going on here? What's the first reaction, though? I mean, what's the first statement here? You've heard it said, if you're really getting pressed, you know, to do something new, what do we generally fall back on? The old formulas, the old laws. You've heard it said, don't kill. Any problem with that? Do you do that all the time? You're faithful to that? Anybody in here has killed anybody? No? Let's try to get underneath it. You know, what is he saying? What's inside, if you want to take that, what is inside of that commandment seriously, what is really being called forth here?
Whole relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, say to anyone who is angry with his brother or sister, shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother and sister shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire.
So the statement is, to have a whole relationship with God and our offering to him, we have to have a whole relationship with the people around us first.
Yeah. All that's, it's not just the external stuff. It is more. What's going on here is everything going on inside of us. Yeah. So in a sense, whatever the actual gift is the symbol of a lot more than the gift itself. I mean, that's the important thing. And so we don't just focus all our energies on that one particular gift. That particular gift symbolizes everything about us. And so the task then becomes, if there's any part of your life where you're not fully, you know, giving, being this self to yourself into all these different arenas, what's the danger here? I've given my $5, thank you, Lord. I'll go out and do whatever I damn well please.
Yeah,
huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
by your way to heaven. Yeah,
but the work is, whatever I now come to have gotten with this gift, and say, here it is, Lord. And then I'm also aware that there's all this other stuff I got to be about doing. Where do you do the work of offering? Is it in this gift before God? It is in living it out here. Does that, do you follow me? That's a major shift in the New Testament. I don't think you find that particular action anywhere in the Old Testament stuff. Yeah, because it's the important thing that goes on in the Old Testament is that you make sure you give that gift and make that offering and the recognition that you're totally dependent on God. That's as far as it goes. But Jesus, that character, takes it a step further and says, hey, leave that gift there. Express being totally dependent on God, but now be reconciled. Yeah. And so you don't do offering just inside here, inside the building. There's no way. Yeah. And so it becomes, in fact, the symbol that we bring before God, whether it's a buck or whatever. I mean, it's consciously. Now, the marching orders is leave that gift at the throne of God and the power of God to be empowered by that to now do your offering totally. Does that make sense? Huh? And I never saw that before until this summer. Mm-hmm. Because it just jumped out at me. Have you ever seen this before? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I hadn't before, but it knocks your socks off. The other thing, remember the parable where Jesus talks about the man who came across the field of great price? Hmm? What do you have to do? What did he do?
Sold all that he had to buy the field.
Yeah. He sold everything. Didn't give it away. But he sold it. Now, in a sense, that's at the very heart of what we're talking about here, too. Inside of offering is the action where you and I are willing to sell everything that we possess. All right? Yeah. And that means what? Our bodies? Feelings? Ideas? We'll start there. So all this energy that we spend being in charge and so forth, okay, sell it, in a sense, literally put somebody else in charge. How about your family? Can you really let go of your family?
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, okay. How about your house? Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, those good stuff. I mean, geez, we get at that stuff. Joan and I do. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, just on and on. My. Sell everything you have and buy that field. Buy into that kingdom, which really is saying, no. Literally, God, you're in charge. You change directors. Instead of you, it's literally in the hands of God in that kingdom.
What's the distinction you're making between selling and giving away? You said it isn't giving away.
Oh, because in a sense it's all those resources that are there. You still have to make the choices of how you're going to live with whatever there is in life for you. You got to make the choices. But it's in a sense, somebody else is in charge. Now, look at it from a different perspective. Now, you be faithful in living out responsibly. In stewardship is basically what the word is. But it's now your minus. Mine, that it serves me, mm-hmm. That's.
Mm. But there's still something of value.
Oh,
there,
absolutely. Okay. Yeah, because you put the you've got now the responsibility to choose what to do with that value. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're investing, but in a different posture instead of serving you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big difference between saying, no, "I'm going to sell all and lose everything." No, that doesn't say that. You sell everything. You sell everything and buy the field. You choose into it, being servant. And now responsible to live out in service with everything, because you sold the whole store. And that's a major shift. It's a major shift.